CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome to The State of Recruiting, a weekly podcast featuring the insights of Longhorn recruiting analyst Mike Roach and hosted by Bobby Burton. Roach offers unparalleled insights into the recruiting on the 40 acres. Each week, he crisscrosses the state, watching and talking to blue chip recruits. And I'm Bobby Burton, a 1992 Texas alum and one of the recruiting industry's founding fathers. I played a formative role in the creation of both 24/7 Sports and Rivals.com. The State of Recruiting is taped each and every Wednesday during football and recruiting season. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hook 'em. Mike, how you doing this week, man?
It's been a crazy week. This is, I guess, what it feels like to be in the midst of some coaching turmoil, working for a big network, and this is my first introduction to it.
It's very interesting because, you know, the thing about working, and I found this out 20-something years ago, but the amount of information you get is not just from one side of the fence. So you may hear the Texas view of it, but then you also have a USC view of it in the sense of a guy like Graham Harrell, who Texas seems to be targeting it at offensive coordinator, when you're within a network. And I really think that that tends to bring a greater understanding of the entire picture. And also greater insights into all of the machinations going on behind the scenes. So without further ado, I want to get into some recruiting as it relates to these latest moves, because obviously it's going to affect this recruiting class. To think it won't is ridiculous. So where Texas sits right now, Texas has 17 commitments, Mike. They're ranked number 7 nationally. But with the early signing period coming up in just a couple of weeks, there's going to be some guys that actually do put pen to paper, and make a decision to stick with the Horns, regardless of maybe what may be some tenuous situation with, a certain number of assistants. What I want to do today with you and use you as really the expert, since you talk to all these kids and, whatnot, is try to categorize every single commitment Texas has into three categories. One is extremely concerned, like I think he's on the verge of possibly flipping or decommitting. A second category would be, you know what, there's some concern there, but really I think he's taking a wait-and-see attitude as much as anything. And then the third is he's signing with Texas no matter what.
Okay.
So It could be a guy that's always wanted to go to Texas, something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I, at the end of this, I want to go back over each. I want to really look at the numbers and the positions that may be thinned out by some possible moves. So let's start. I'm going to start with the highest rated player in the Texas class, and that's Bijan Robinson out of Tucson, running back.
I've got Bijan in the not concerned. I guess he would be in my lowest category, probably somewhere between the somewhat concerned and not concerned. I would say somewhat concerned just because, you know, he doesn't talk a lot, and there has been some talk of other visits, but he did tell Blair Angulo from 24/7, our Mountain Region analyst, that he does intend to sign, go to Texas. No other visits are planned. At this point, Bijan Robinson's never given me a reason really not to trust him, so I'm going to put him in the not concerned at this point category.
All right, mark him down. I think it's clear, too, that the fact that Stan Drayton by all accounts, the Texas running back coach is expected to be retained no matter who the new offensive coordinator would be. And that's probably a part weighing in the decision of Bijan Rasmussen. Okay, let's move on to Jaquindon Jackson, the quarterback, do-everything guy out of Duncanville. They're still alive in the playoffs, I believe, and trying to push forward. What's going on with Jaquindon right now, and where would you put him?
He's in the same type of spot I would have Bijan Robinson at. He is saying all the right things. Despite talking to some sources at Duncanville who's thought that, you know, if Tim Beck isn't there long-term, that might hurt Jaquindon Jackson's long-term outlook. You know, I talked to Jaquindon, and he looked me in the eye and said, I'm signing early. There's nothing that's going to change my commitment. I'm locked in. He really hasn't taken any other visits or talked to any other schools. So while I do feel like he's a bit of a wild card and possibly area for some concern, again, like Bijan, he's never really given me a reason not to trust him when he says something to me. So I'm going to keep him in the low concern for now.
Okay, so that's pretty good news starting off those two guys, because I think that, as we've talked about on here before, Jaquindon is one of those guys that moves the needle a little bit for this Texas class. Hudson Card, the quarterback out of Lake Travis.
Hudson Card, I would put in that bottom class as well, in that low worry. I think that Hudson is the type of kid, much like Sam Ellinger, that's just grown up his whole life wanting to go to Texas and dreaming of being the quarterback at Texas. And you know, like Jaquindon Jackson, Hudson hasn't really had a recruitment. You know, he committed about a year and a half ago and never visited another school, never talked to any other school. So if he wanted to change something, he would have to, a pretty short runway to do it with his team still in the playoffs and him expected to be an early enrollee.
Quentin Johnston is next, the wide receiver out of Temple, very talented.
He's a guy I would say I would have some concern for. He, you know, after I spoke,
so mid-range, not high concern,
right? Mid-range. He is a guy that, okay, I think is going to be largely dependent on who the offensive coordinator is. If they can get him, maybe the new wide receiver coach, if they can get those guys in front of Quentin, I think that's going to play big there. Quentin was a guy that was really close to Drew Mehringer. When I talked to him following Drew's dismissal, Quentin, you know, he expressed some disappointment, but understood it was a business and said the right things. Now, what I've heard is that he has reached out to some other schools, including TCU, which was a finalist for him. So there is some area of concern there for me.
Gotcha. Okay. So not great news there. Not horrible news, but not great news. Vernon Broughton, the defensive lineman from Cy Ridge out of Houston.
I'm going to put Vernon in the low category, the almost no concern. Vernon was his position coach, Oscar Giles, is by all reports, you know, still around and maybe even expected to stick around after the new defensive coordinator's hired. Vernon and his mother have been bought in on the program itself as more so than a certain position coach or anything like that. Vernon is trying to line up everything to get graduated, get enrolled, and enroll early. And so I would have Vernon in the low concern category.
Any chance he's going to, if he's trying to do that, any chance he's going to be around for bowl practice? I know there's some talk that some guys were going to try to be part of bowl practice if they enroll early.
It would really depend on when the bowl is, because, you know, those guys got to finish up high school first and then they've got to get enrolled, right, and they have to go through the NCAA acclimation period, which I think is like a week of no pads. So by the time they do all that, I think it really just depends on if there are enough practices left to get anything out of it, if they're going to have those guys participate. I think if they were in a New Year's bowl, then yeah, you might see that. But if they're in a bowl that's, you know, the week of Christmas or something, I maybe not.
Gotcha. All right. This one to me is one of the biggest ones on the board, and I haven't talked to you about him off air. And so I'll just put it out there. But this one, I think this is the guy that gets after the passer as good as anybody, and that's Prince Dorba out of Highland Park. Where's it sit with him right now?
The good news is I think Dorba is in no matter what. I think Prince is one of those guys that was sold on Texas as a culture, more so than a certain coach or anything like that. Prince has kind of been the leader in that group of commits out there saying, like, we're trying to build something special, and if you don't want to come along, you can go ahead and decommit now, but that's, you know, what we're trying to do is lead the way. So I would have Prince Dorba as one of the most solid guys in the class.
Yeah, that's huge because, as we found out this year, if you can't get after the passer, things can go wrong in a hurry. And I think Todd Orlando found that out, not really getting after the passer until the very final game of the season. Next player on the list would be Xavien Alford, out of Pearland, Shadow Creek, highly recruited guy that chose Texas in a contested recruitment early. He's a safety / nickel guy.
Right. Based on what Xavien's told me, I would initially have had him in the low concern group, but there is, for me, I think he kind of falls in probably the medium group. I think that you know, his link to Texas is with Craig Kniver. He did choose Texas for Texas, he says, but his relationship is with Coach Kniver, and you know, that obviously could change after the bowl game, you know, depending on the decisions that are made at that time. Now, Xavien is an early enrollee. I expect some difficult questions for the coaching staff during his in-home this week as they try to get him locked down, but I think that one could kind of go either way, and I would probably for now put him in the some concern, the medium tier.
Wow, I kind of thought you were going to go extremely concerned with him. I'm concerned about your levels here, Mike. I'm second guessing you because I thought he was going to be a guy that may actually bolt pretty quick.
I think no reason.
I mean, Xavien said nothing to me that I know of to believe that, but I felt like that might be one with Craig Kniver potentially being on the block here, that even if Chris Ash, the defense coordinator, would eventually, the likely future defensive coordinator, would eventually be his position coach, that it might really cause a problem.
Yeah, I don't have him in the high concern because he's never said anything to me that indicates that. The only things I've heard are behind the scenes that, hey, this, you know, the future of Craig Kniver may. But it's not. It's never been a deal breaker. It's never been that if Craig Kniver's gone, Xavien is for sure leaving. You know, it's kind of just been discussed. So with in-homes this week, I think that we'll have a chance to kind of gauge where things stand following that. I think that in-homes give them a great opportunity to go in and try to settle the kid down and get everything kind of lined up from there.
Okay. Jake Majors.
Jake Majors, I would have in the low concern category. Talking with him and his
no concern or low concern.
No concern. Like, yeah, no. I just have him in three tiers: high, medium, low. No concern would be low. Gotcha. So Jake, talking with Jake and his family. His family is closing on a house in Austin this week. Jake is set to enroll early. He has not looked anywhere else. And despite some schools coming at him this week, Jake is all locked in and ready to go.
All right. Jalen Garth, the offensive lineman from Port Neches that had the ACL tear early in the season.
Yeah, with basically all the offensive linemen I've got in the no concern category because Herb Hand's still around. That's who their relationship's with. Those guys have bonded. Jalen Garth is a guy that committed to Texas and never really looked back after that point. And, you know, though he's kind of a quiet guy, is really wanted to go to Texas his whole life. So I've got Garth locked in as well.
It can't hurt that Roshan Johnson had had to be categorized as a positive experience at Texas.
Absolutely.
Come from the same high school, yeah, in his first year at Texas. All right, Troy O'Meara, the receiver from Fort Bend, Austin, that chose the Longhorns, or actually flipped to the Longhorns from A&M, and he's a wide receiver where Texas let go of both assistants.
Yeah, now Troy has insisted that he is firm and that everything is good, but I'm going to put him kind of in the same class as Quentin Johnston in that medium, some concern area. I think for Troy, you know, he did have his relationships were with Drew Meringer and Cormie Meekins, but I think again it could be, you know, it could be overturned depending on, you know, the way the in-homes go and the offensive hires and all those things. But Troy has always kind of, you know, been a really good at playing his hand behind the scenes. So I can't sit here and say that Troy's never given me a reason not to trust him. And so for that reason, I would put him in the area of some concern.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I think that, he did flip his commitment. Doesn't mean he's a bad kid or anything like that. It just means, hey, just be on the lookout. And I think as much as anything, it's, you know, he's at a position. He plays a position where there's currently no assistant coach on staff. I guess Andre Coleman is on the road right now for Texas and could end up being a long-term hire for the Longhorns. But as of right now, we don't know that for sure.
Yeah, and let me be clear. I don't think any of these kids are bad kids for making, you know, considering decisions. This is their future, and there's a lot of uncertainty at hand. I think that they're all well within their rights to reconsider, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah, a fair statement. I was making sure that everybody understood that I didn't feel that way as well.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like too much pressure on these kids in many instances. All right. Keaton Crawford out of John Tyler, another guy that's a do-everything guy, Mike, and I know Jason Washington, the corners coach, recruited him. He could be a corner, could be a safety, could be a receiver, running back, and slot nickel. Really one of the guys that is a key to this class from a – he just fits a role that Texas doesn't have many of, yet, you know, I think that, you know, there could be something going on there. So where would you – categorize Keaton at this point?
Yeah, and the only corner in the class too, so it would really hurt to lose him. But I would have him on the tier that's probably right on the line between medium and high concern. Keaton, I know, is telling people, like, he had his official or his in-home visit last night. Coach Washington was on it. Coach Herman was on it. Brian Carrington was on that visit. Keaton is telling folks that he intends to sign and has no worries or anything like that. I still think this one could very much come down to what happens with Jason Washington. And the weird thing is, you know, it's all going to be – I think these kids are going to have to make some timing-related decisions because, you know, Jason Washington's future won't likely be resolved until after the bowl game, which will come after early signing period. So if Keaton Crawford really wants to stick to playing wherever Jason Washington is or not playing here if he's not, he's probably going to have to push his signing back to February. And so those will be interesting signs to watch. Right now I would have him in medium concern, but he could move into that high area pretty quickly.
All right, so Jaron Thompson, another safety, hybrid, really big kid, 6 foot, 185. Where do you think he's going to end up in this scenario?
Jaron Thompson has had one of the weirdest recruitments I've ever seen for a pretty high four-star kid, top 250 in the country, and yet had a couple of programs just back out on him in the middle of the recruitment for no other reason than, you know, they just found other guys they wanted to go after. And so I think he loves, you know, the fact that, like, when Texas offered, he jumped on that immediately. I think he'll stick with that. I don't think he wants to enter the recruiting realm again. I have him in the low concern area.
Okay. Going to put two offensive linemen together because they are the next two on the list. Logan Parr out of San Antonio O'Connor and Andre Carrick out of South Lake Carroll. Both of those fit into that offensive line category you were talking about?
Yeah, both those guys are locked in. Logan Parr is basically Jake Majors South. So just everything I said about Jake Majors, apply that to Logan Parr, except his parents are not closing on a house in Austin. That's the only difference. Andre Carrick, again, a kid that really jumped all over the offer once he got it and the opportunity. I've talked to him the past 2 weeks in the playoffs. I'll see him again this week. Every time he's looked at me with the most intensity I've ever seen and said, like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm signing. Like, I'm ready to be a Longhorn. So I think with Herb Hand there, you don't really have to worry about the offensive line guys.
Okay. All right. This one, I know he took a visit this past weekend, I think, to Utah. Ty Jordan, the running back athlete out of West Mesquite.
He's the guy that is a no doubt high concern guy for me. Really, Utah was has been in it for him for a long time, and they've been a school that's been very consistent in their contact with Ty. And I think that for Ty, we've talked a little bit about, but his mom's going through some health issues, and I think the consideration for him is going far away from home and being away from her versus being at a school where he thinks maybe he could be used a little better, or he could be, you know, or that's shown him, frankly, has shown him more love. You know, I've heard from people near Ty that, you know, Texas has not contacted him nearly as much as Utah has over the time he's been committed. So, obviously, Utah's got a lot more to sell as a potential playoff team and top 10 in the country. And, you know, Texas hasn't been that much of contact. So I think he's going through a lot there. And, I think a lot will matter with the in-home this week. I think that a lot will matter with the offensive coordinator decision. You know, Ty was very high on USC, so he is familiar with Graham Harrell. And I think that this thing could possibly come down to signing day and a flip be on the table for signing day.
Okay, fair enough. Jaden Hullaby.
Jaden Hullaby, I think, has been locked into Texas. He's like Hudson Card. He's been locked in for a while, hasn't taken visits to other schools, hasn't really talked to other schools. You know, I think that he's a guy that's not necessarily married to a position coach or anything of that nature. I think Jaden Hullaby is in the no concern category.
All right. Dejon Harrison, the receiver out of Hutto.
And Dejon's the same way. He is dream school was Texas. That's why you saw him commit as soon as he was offered. I think that in talking to Dejon, I do believe him when he says that, you know, nothing's really changed his feelings on the deal. And so I've got Dejon in no concern.
Okay, so that's everybody. That's all 17 that we went through. So count up the numbers and tell me the numbers in each category.
Okay. For some reason, I keep having, like, I've missed somebody that I didn't write down because I've got 16 on my categories here, but I can't figure out who I'm missing.
Did you do both offensive linemen? Because I went to those as one.
Yeah, I've got Majors.
Carriage.
Yeah, Majors, Carriage. Park, Carriage, and Garth I have all on here. I've got Hullaby, Jaron Thompson, Jaquit. Yeah, I think I've got everybody. Okay, so in the high concern category, I've just got Ty Jordan.
Okay.
And so that would affect the running back position. In the medium concern category, I've got four guys. Keaton Crawford, Xavier Alford, Quentin Johnston, and Troy O'Meara. So basically your secondary and your receiver class, all in the medium concern category.
Okay, got it. Got it. That makes sense, with the exception of guys guys like Jaron Thompson, you don't feel are waffling or anything. And then Dejon Harrison, the one we just mentioned, those are receivers and DBs that are locked in.
Right. And then so then.
Right.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And so then I've got 12 in the no concern or low concern category.
Okay.
Which would include Hudson Card, Prince Dorba, Jake May, the offensive line group, Jaden Hullaby, yep. Jaron Thompson, Jaquinta Jackson, Dejon Harrison, and Bijan Robinson. There's who I forgot. Vernon Broughton also in that group.
Yep. There you go. Good. So that I think that was a good exercise for everybody that's interested in that sort of thing, because this is how coaching changes absolutely do affect recruiting outcomes. And I think that's important to note. Thanks for doing that, Mike. And I would even suggest you might want to put that up on the message board at some point today or with that discussion when we post the podcast. Let me ask you this, Mike. So you were on the road last week. You were in Dallas, right?
Yeah, I stayed home for playoffs. God, it's been a whirlwind, so I'm trying to remember who I saw. Okay, so on Thursday night or Friday night, Friday all day I was at the stadium, and then Saturday went to Waco. Friday I saw, the biggest game I saw was Highland Park and Lone Star, in a game that saw Highland Park knocked out of the playoffs for the first time in 4 years by Lone Star in an overtime win. Prince Dorba was sensational. Probably the best game I've seen him play. He had a couple sacks and a bunch of tackles for loss and was incredibly disruptive.
Better than he was last year in the state title game?
Yeah, I think it was the best I've seen him level.
That's an impressive dude now.
Yeah, he was really, really good. So got to see him. The first game I saw was Duncanville. Saw them again, and they crushed Arlington Martin to go on to the regional final. Jaquindon Jackson was special as always, and will continue to be special, and I don't know how much more I can say about him.
Tacklers still just kind of fall off of him.
They bounce off of him, but yeah. it's more like a pinball. And then
look, hey, North Shore has some great athletes on that team. And when I saw Jaquindon Jackson at state championship last year and North Shore guys were just bouncing off of him, I was like, holy cow, that kid's special. That's great. Anybody else look good in that game?
Yeah, Savion Bird looked really good at defensive line. I really wish we could see him at offensive line, but
how did Chris Thompson look, the safety that ended up choosing Auburn?
He's banged up a little bit, so he's got an issue with his knee and has been in and out of the game. He's actually going to be like a game time decision this week against Southlake, and will be a really interesting one. But when he's in, it's really hard for the people to run to the perimeter or throw to the perimeter on Duncanville because he comes downhill so quickly and closes on guys. And then the nightcap, I saw Alito just Alito was the hot upset pick in state for Red Oak to upset Alito, and I just didn't buy it. Like, this is Red Oak's new to the game, and this is kind of what Alito does every year. So Alito came out and crushed them. Jace McClellan was sensational. JoJo Earl, sensational. So Alito looks like they've got no issues going to a state title again.
Gotcha.
And then Saturday I went to Waco to McLean Stadium. I watched the first game was Rockwall versus Klein Oak. Rockwall, actually, they held Jackson Smith Jigba in check for a little while. I believe he only had like 93 yards, but he also had probably 85 yards rushing and a couple touchdowns as they pulled out the win over Klein Oak. But I watched, was really there to see Jake Majors and Prosper take on the Woodlands. And, Prosper rolled in that one. They will face Rockwall in the regional final. Jake was really good. You know, I had some colleagues and friends with me and just kind of asked them, what stands out to you about Jake? And to everybody, it's his feet and his technique and his understanding of leverage, the way he moves. And I think concerns about his strength, obviously you build strength once you get to college. And if you can add on all of those other great tools, that's really where it counts.
Yep. Anybody else?
No, that's all I saw last week. This week will be another crazy one. I'm going out to Longview on Friday night to see Gilmer versus Texarkana Pleasant Grove in a regional final. A lot of athletes on the field out there. Really excited for that. Gilmer's got some guys that really no one's heard of, but could become some big name prospects that I'm interested to see. And then Saturday, I'll be bouncing back and forth in the North Dallas area between the Star and Frisco, where Denton Ryan is playing, to the McKinney ISD Stadium to see the regional final between Duncanville and Southlake, and then a Prosper Rockwall nightcap. So it'll be a busy day.
Well, Mike, I gotta admit, I think it's clear that you're a Metroplex guy, and I'll tell you why. It's sacrilege that you didn't go to the Katy North Shore game.
I was all set to go. I was all set to go, but I couldn't. My wife had an engagement that would not let me get out of town on time to go. Like, she had already scheduled for us. So, hey, you know what, Bobby? She puts a what?
Were you going ice skating, or were you lighting the tree, or what?
No, we had to take Christmas card pictures, and look. Here's Bobby. Here's how it works. She puts away with me being gone just about three or four nights every week. So when she gives me a small ask, I try to give her an okay.
Missing North Shore at Katy is not a small ask, in my opinion.
But it's tough for us too, though, because it's not, Texas isn't real deeply involved with anybody on either of those teams. So it's
I'm totally teasing you. Hey, they did Texas did. Make a new offer this week on the heels of Van Fillinger decommitting the defensive lineman from Utah that we kind of talked about possibly happening. And that is a young defensive lineman out of Longview. Can you tell us about him?
Sawyer Gorham Welch, kid I saw last year during Longview's run, and Texas was kind of sniffing around him last year, and so I talked to him a little bit then. It was really a guy who's grown up over the last 2 years and grown into his body and is probably a 6 foot three-ish, 280, 285-pound defensive lineman, a guy who could play on the end. I think he'll grow into a nose eventually. Really active. Has a great.
He looked like he had a. I watched him a little bit. He looked like he had a great first step, Mike.
Good first step. Really active. Great motor. You know, he's a hard-working kid. That's the kind of kid you get out of East Texas, and an Oklahoma State commit. But I think Texas has always been kind of a dream for him. So I would very much expect him to take a visit.
Was he expected to sign early with Oklahoma State, or you don't know?
I believe so, but it sounds like he's going to take an official to Texas within the next week or so, week or 2 weeks. I'm just waiting on him for confirmation, but it sounds like Texas is going to get a visit there. He is a kid that, and by the way, if you read the Stampede on Monday morning, that offer was predicted within there.
Very good.
So
someone might have had some insight there. I don't know.
I was just a guess. It was just a really good guess, I suppose. Yeah. but yeah, I think he's a kid that, you know, obviously he's not Van Fillinger, and any guys you get after the fact are probably not going to be, but I think he is a really good active player who's probably a little underrated. And, you know, those are the guys, Bobby, that go to Oklahoma State or Baylor and then kind of whip Texas for the next few years.
I really, really, really like his quickness off the ball. I mean, one of the things that you have to be a disruptive defensive lineman is to be quick off the ball. And I think that's a big thing. And you know, maybe he doesn't make it because he's not strong enough or because he's not athletic enough. I don't know. But I do know that the quickness off the ball is going to be huge for him. Any other possible offers coming, any new offers coming out in the time being or no?
None that I know of as of right now. I think a lot of those things will get sorted out. I think there's a bit of a holding pattern because it's hard to make offers when you don't know what your offensive philosophy or your defensive philosophy is going to be. I can't remember the last time I've covered something where both coordinators were gone and they were basically rebuilding on both sides of the ball. So I think it's difficult until they have some guys in place to kind of start making those offers.
Gotcha. That's one of the things that really surprised me with this Gorham Welch offer is that literally it happened one day after firing the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's a guy they've been evaluating for a while though, and I think everybody had kind of signed off on it at that point.
Right, and that's what I will say this too, Mike. What that tells me is that the personnel department is operating not independently of the coaching staff by any stretch. I'm not saying they don't take their orders from them. It just tells me that Texas has a operational staff that is still going at it despite any and all turmoil that may be surrounding it elsewhere, and that the head coach is still his belief in them is strong enough to go forward with what they're thinking. So I think that's a very interesting outcome of what happened this week.
I think you have to. If you stall at all, you lose all momentum and lose everything, and they just can't afford that right now.
Gotcha. All right, Mike, you have anything else you want to add today?
Nope.
Before we close up?
That we've got a lot of great deals over at Horns 24/7. Just finished our Cyber Monday deal. I think we still have got a 50% off deal, so this is the time to join. There's going to be lots of stuff. Chip and Jeff are dropping team news like crazy, the coaching search, stuff you'll want to hear. I'll have everything covered from a recruiting standpoint, and Bobby, of course, kind of oversees it all, so please come check us out.
Yeah, and don't forget, you get you also get free text alerts with the subscription package as well for breaking news. So I think it's a great deal. All right. For Mike Roach, this is Bobby Burton. Thank you for listening to The State of Recruiting. The State of Recruiting is taped each and every Wednesday during football and recruiting season. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.